it doesn't. Okay, Be'ezras Hashem, the subject for tonight is the subject of She'ilat Gishamim. Geshem, the root, is the same root as the Gashmias. Much of our Gashmias is connected to America, and in America they're going to be starting to say the same Kalamato de Vracha shortly. And from there we will see some basic concepts in Tefillah. And a lot of this is not only Halacha, but also concepts in Machshava as well. But let's of course start with this week's parasha, Perek of Zayin, the beginning of Shishi, Perek of Zayin, Pasuk Chav Ches. Torah tells us that Yitzchak Avinu gave Yaakov the following bracha, V'yiten lecho Elohim, Mikal HaShemayim, Mishmanei Ha'aretz, V'roiv Dagon V'sirosh. So Rashi gives two pshatim, and what does V'yiten lecho mean? Rashi says, Yiten V'yachzar V'yiten. First pshat is that you will give, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you, and then he will give you again. Why does Rashi say that? Because the Vav is strange over here. It's the beginning of an Aliyah. And it starts off, V'yiten lecho, and. So what does it mean, V'yiten? The first pshat of Rashi is that he will give and he will give again. That's the first pshat of Rashi. Ufi pshuto. And according to the Pashup pshat, says Rashi, and as we will see in a moment, the Ramban will like this pshat better than the first pshat of Rashi. Musav le'inyin harishon. It refers back to the previous concept. Re'ei re'ach b'mi. What does the previous pasuk say? Vayigash vayishak lo. That Yitzchak kissed Yaakov. Vayorach asriach begodah vayivarcheihu. So says Rashi, that re'ei re'ach b'mi, shenasal HaKadosh Baruch Hu k're'ach asada. Va'od yiten lecha v'tal Hashemai. You'll continue to have the beautiful smell of the field, as well as having the Tal HaShemayim. So according to the second pshat, the V'yitein is not saying that you're going to get and you're going to get more. That might be true, but that's not the Kavanas HaPasuk. Comes along the Ramban, and the Ramban says he thinks that the second pshat is correct. The Ramban's objection is the following. Ein abrocha she'yitein lo Elohim mital HaShemayim ki atal yeri b'chol makom. Says the Ramban, it can't be just simply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I will give you tal and I will give you more tal, because if that would be so, the whole world gets tal. And if the whole world gets tal, so it's not Dafki Yaakov that's getting tal. So therefore the Ramban goes and he learns like the second pshat of Rashi. So Ramban rejects the first pshat, that V'yiten lecha means that you will get and you will get more and more tal. And he says it has to be that the pshat is like the second pshat of Rashi. Just to defend Rashi's pshat, I would like to point out that the Medrash has a very important yisod, and that will bring us to Inyan of the Yoma and to the crux of our topic today. The Medrash says on this pasuk in Samach Vav, Perek Samach Vav, the Medrash Rabbah, two quotes I'd like to mention from the Medrash. Number one, says the Medrash, Rabbi Levi Omar, Perek Samach Vav, Os Beis. Rabbi Levi Omar, Uma Shekol Tova Shibba La'olam Eina Ba'ela B'Sklusa. A nation that all of the good in the world is dependent on it, all bracha comes through it. Hagshamim Eina Yardin Ela B'Sklusa. The rain only comes B'Sklus Klal Yisrael. Hatzlalim Eina Yardin Ela B'Sklusa. Shenemar, it quotes our pasuk, V'yitein Lecho Elohim Mikal HaShamayim. So the answer to the question of the Ramban on the first chapter of Rashi, he said, but the whole world gets it. It's not something that's miyuchad to Yaakov. The answer is, the Medrash already says that the bracha of the all rain in the world and all tal is dependent on Klal Yisrael. So just Pashut Pshat, just to defend what Rashi means against the Hasaga of the Ramban. What also emerges from this Medrash is that tal doesn't only mean tal, but it also means gishamim. V'yitein l'cho Elohim yital ha-shamayim means gishamim. Why does it emphasize tal? So the Mefarshim point out, the Ravam and others point out, that tal is always a good thing, gishamim could sometimes be a bad thing. But when we say v'yitein l'cho Elohim yital ha-shamayim, because sometimes it's a tornado, v'yitein l'cho Elohim yital ha-shamayim, that includes gishamim as well. Now Rabosai, not only is this in Yana D'yoma in Halacha and Chutz La'aretz, about starting to ask the same Talmud of Racha, but let's wake ourselves up. I'll tell you what Rav Nemetzal told me today. We weren't discussing this sugya, but he told me today in a different context. He told me that if Bezras Hashem, next time it rains, he says that the halacha in Simin Roish Chaf Aleph, that says that you have to make a bracha when it rains, there's a moda that we say, and we say, Akela Hodos, when there isn't enough rain, he says it will be Shaykh now. One of my friends told me a month ago he didn't say that. The matzav here in Eretz Yisrael is quite bad. To the point that we've reached, I think, a black line. That to the point that they say that the damage to the Kinneret is irrevocable. We can't go back. It's just that we have to hope that Be'ezer Hashem, that it doesn't get worse. So what are we supposed to do? So there are two things that we need to do. Number one, the Medrash earlier says that why is it that Yaakov is zoket to the Tau? Amar Yaakov ayidei sha yisi osek betor shim shel kamayim zachisi lezborek betau. Because I was osek betorah, there's nimshal kamayim. Why is Torah nimshal kamayim? Because Torah finds the lowest point. Not dependent on what yichus you have or who you know. I see it over and over again. It's not about money. It's the people who are capable in Torah, those are the people who are successful in Torah. The people who are not, in the end, they're not successful. So the Medrash says that Yaakov, who is osek betorah, is zocha kamayim. So I would humbly suggest to the Talmidim that we should take upon ourselves at one Seder or add 5 minutes of our limud, that our limud should be the Sfus Mayim. Our limud should be the Sfus Mayim. We have to realize that we have to begin to be so well part of the Soros of Klal Yisrael. And so much of what people are handling about is who's going to be the next mayor. Usually you have nothing to do with who's going to be the next mayor at all. One of my daughters said to me, I heard that this mayor is more, not here in Yerushalayim, in Beit Shemesh, I heard this mayor is more religious than the next one. Did you hear that, Abba? I said to her, I didn't check his statistics. I don't know. Enough handling with the politics. Let's try to do something that's tangible, to be osik in that nikuda. And number two, of course, the second, is to understand what is she'elas gishamim, and to see what we could do in terms of tefillah, because of course the source of it all, of all bakashos, is tefillah. So let's begin an analysis of the sugya of the same Talmud Matar. In Orach Chaim, in Simen Kuf Yud Zayin, we have the following set of halachas. So first we're going to list the halachas, then we'll see a fascinating machlokas, and see what the hezber in this machlokas is. In Orach Chaim, Simen Kuf Yud Zayin, we learn the following halachas. Number one, if a person forgot to say the same Talmud of Racha, and he remembers already after Baruch Aleinu, but he's not past Shema Koleinu, so halacha is that you insert the same Talmud of Racha over there in the Bracha of Shema Koleinu. It's inserted over there at that point. Mekulei Alma. This is based on a sugya and brachos and that test. If you've already finished Shmona Esrei, you are Okel Raglecha, and then you realize that you said the same bracha instead of the same talamata of bracha, then the halacha is also clear. The halacha says you have to say Shemon Esrei again. Those two areas are absolute. Those two areas are clear. There is, however, an amorphic area. And that is, what happens if you forgot the same talamata and you remember after the bracha of Shema Koleinu? So here, there is a lot of discussion in Tosas on that Daf Tesamah Beis, what the opinion of the Bavli is. However, the Yerushalmi, the Rush quotes, and of course this is all brought down beautifully by the greatest encyclopedia of Talmud. What's the greatest encyclopedia of Talmud? The Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef in Simen Kuf Yud Zayin discusses it very, very clearly. Probably nothing against Encyclopedia Talmudis, it's fantastic. But it's mind-boggling what the Beis Yosef did. So, he quotes the Rosh, who quotes the Yerushalmi, that says that you go back to Baruch Aleinu. I'm sorry, the Yerushalmi says you go back to Shema Kaleinu. You don't go all the way back to Baruch Aleinu. So Yerushalmi is of the opinion that you go back to Shema Kaleinu. Everybody agrees that if you remember before Shema Kaleinu, you stick it in. The Yerushalmi says, if you remember before the end of Shemon Esrei, you go back to Shema Kaleinu. So, the Rambam says that you go back to Baruch Aleinu. The Bali Tosfos are mesupik what the Das of the Bavli is, and ultimately they claim that the Bavli, even though it's unclear, it's not explicit, they claim that according to the Bavli, also you go back to Baruch Aleinu. And we Paskin like that. If you remember after Shema Kaleinu, you remember in the middle of Modim, that you forgot to say the same Talmud to the Bracha, the halacha is that you go back to Baruch Aleinu. What exactly is the Svara of the Yerushalmi? What is the Svara of the Yerushalmi? I understand that if you're before Shema Kaleinu, so then you put it in Shema Kaleinu. But if you're anyhow, you're going back, put it back in the right place. Put it back in the right place. And that's clearly the Svara of the Bavli. Shema Kaleinu is if you're stuck and you don't want a bracha v'akala, so then put it in. But clearly, Shema Kaleinu is not the lechatchila place of the brach for the same Talmata. It belongs in the Vakasha of Baruch Aleinu. What's the Yerushalmi Svara? If we had more time, then we would discuss exactly what the Nekudas HaMachlokas is. But I want to tell you a beautiful Yisod that I heard from Rav Pam. If I remember the Shalshelis HaNesor, I heard from Rav Pam, who heard from Rav Huttner, who heard from Rav Chaim. These are the exact words of Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim said, in the Kedarko B'Kodesh, in one sentence, he said, in Shema Koleinu lit the Ala Bakashas. Within Shema Koleinu includes all of the Bakashas. What does that mean? We assume that Shema Koleinu is, alright, you're at the end of Shmon Esrei, or end of Bakashas, and you miss something, so throw it in there. That's how we had always assumed. And that could be what the Bavli assumes. However, Reb Chaim was masbir that according to the Yerushalmi, the Pshat is that Shema Koleinu is in itself a full expression of all the Bakashos. In Shema Koleinu has Atachonen, Slachlanu, Hashiva Shavtenu, all of them are part of Shema Koleinu. Well, why? What does that mean? If Shema Koleinu has all of them, so then just say Shema Koleinu. And if you already have him in all the brachos, what do we need Shema Koleinu again for? What's the amkus of what Reb Chaim was trying to bring out? So Lania's Daiti, I think what is behind what Reb Chaim is saying, is a vart from the Gra. A beautiful, beautiful idea. The Gra asks, brought down in the many of the Sidurim that quote from the Gra. The Gra asks, why is it that when it comes to Shema Koleinu, we use the expression Shema Koleinu and not Shema Tfilah Seinu? What's the pshat in Koleinu? Hear our cry. It's Tfilah. Shema Tfilah Seinu. Says the Gra, Kafka Leferach. I'll tell you why it's Shema Koleinu, not Shema Tfilah Seinu. Says there are two expressions of bakashos. There are the bakashos, what I would call the articulate expression of the bakashos, where we set down atachoni lodom das, slach lanu, hashiva shavteinu, and then the Gra says, then there's the call of tefillah. It's not an articulate expression, it's a cry. What happens? A person is davening, and he davens Shemon Esrei, and he articulates, and then when he reaches the point of Shema Koleinu, the end of the Bakashos, he asks himself, but wait a second, have I really, really expressed HaKadosh Baruch Hu my feelings? Am I able to articulate my feelings? Am I able to articulate my Bakashos? Then comes the Bracha Shema Koleinu. Then the individual pulls back and he surrenders. He realizes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't entirely articulate myself. But to just hear my cry. And that encapsulates all of tefillah, all of the bakashos. So there's a mitzvah on the one hand to try to articulate, but at the end of the day, a person pulls back and he realizes that he can't. And that's a cry, that's Shema Koleinu. This is so, of course, we have the Rav Soloveitchik developed in regards to the Shema Kol Shofar, that the Kol Shofar is the primal, inarticulate cry of man. And I think he part of this was Mevusas, and this idea of the Grah, that's Shema Koleinu. So what do we see? We see that when it comes to the Bakashas, there are two different forms of Bakashas. There's the Bakasha of the articulate expression of all the Bakashas, and then there's the redactic of Shema Koleinu, which is a full expression of all tefillah. And that's what Reb Chaim was bringing out. That's what Reb Chaim meant in that one line when he said that the bracha of Shema Koleinu is kolel all the tefillos. And that's pshat in the Yerushalmi. When the Yerushalmi says that the same talu matan lebracha, you go back to Shema Koleinu. Because Shema Koleinu is really an expression of all those brachos. A different formulation, but really an expression of that bracha. Of course, this takes us back to the classics. And as Mesillas Yesharim says, it's the Dvarim Shutim that need the most chizuk. This Yesod is reminiscent of the famous Yisod of Reb Chaim in his Sefer al Rambam, where Reb Chaim asks that there's a stira in Rambam. On the one hand, the Rambam in Perek Dalet writes, "Kol tefila shein bekavana in a tefila," that any tefila that doesn't have kavana is not considered a tefila, which seems like kavana is ma'ake for all tefila. And yet, the Rambam in Perek Yud writes, the Rambam says that all you need is kavana for the first bracha. The pashtus of the Rambam in Perek Dalid was that you need kavana throughout, and if you lose kavana, then it's not called a tefillah. And you would have to go back for that bracha that you missed. Every bracha is ma'akev, you have to go back. That's what the Rambam seems to say in Perek Dalid. Yet the Rambam in Perek Yud seems to teach us that all you need is kavana for the first bracha b'diavad. And Reb Chaim set forth a beautiful Yisod. The problem is, when people learn Reb Chaim, their minds are working and their hearts aren't working sometimes. But if they realize, there's a tremendous amount of heart behind this as well. And Reb Chaim says, there's Tzvei Din in Tefillah. One din of Tefillah is the Bechina of Kavana. Tzvei Din in Kavana. One din of Kavana is the transcendental awareness of Shvisi Hashem L'Negi Samid, that I'm praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the other type of Kavana is Pirush HaMilos, is understanding the words. And Reb Chaim says that if a person doesn't have that transcendental awareness of Shvisi Hashem L'Negi Samid, the tefillah is not tefillah. If he's not in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tefillah is not a tefillah. Pirush HaMilim, b'di'evet, as long as you understand the first bracha, then you're going to be yotzei. What's Reb Chaim bringing out? Again, just like we saw two dinim in the Bakashos, there are two dinim in Kavana. The two dinim in the Kavana reflect the chiluk between Shema Koleinu and all the other brachos. If you will, Shema Koleinu is that expression, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I feel that intimate relationship but I can't express myself. And all the other Bakashos are the articulate expression, the understanding. And Reb Chaim is bringing out that the essence of tefillah is that sense of that transcendental awareness of Lifnei Hashem. So this yisod that Reb Chaim said from Reb Chaim is built on the same idea that Reb Chaim has, as they say in Sefer. Of course, this idea of Reb Chaim is pronounced in Chassidus, but it's all the same Torah. Just said in a different levush. What comes to mind is the famous story with the Baal Shem Tov, as described by his Hasidim on Yom HaKippurim. Actually, this story, Rav Tani Cohn pointed out to me, seems to have very similar sources in the Sefer HaHasidim, which is 600 years before the Hasidim. But there is a Sefer HaChassidim that has a similar type of story, that on Yom HaKippurim the Besh was very down. He was crying. It was clear to the Chassidim that there was a terrible Gzar Din in Shamayim. And around the Ila time, he stopped for 10 minutes, and then when he started with Gevaldik HaSimcha. And it was clear to the Chassidim something had happened in the last 10 minutes. And they said to him afterwards, Rebbe, what happened? What changed during those 10 minutes? What happened in the heavens? He said to me, didn't notice the little boy that came in the back? This little boy who had only gone to first grade of Cheder, all he had learned was Aleph-Beis. The Besh told him. And he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are different gersos of exactly what the little child did. But one gersa has it that he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all I know is Aleph-Beis, I'm going to say the Aleph-Beis and you put the tefillahs together for me. The Besh said, our Hecher and Kavanas don't compare to that, to the kavana of that little child to be Masadir the Aleph Beis. That's the same Yisayt. The little child, who is no longer little, he's now 13 or 14, but all he knew was Aleph Beis, he had a greater transcendental sense of Shvisi Hashem L'negdi Samich than the kavana. The parallel would be Pirush HaMilim to the Kavanas HaAri. Said that there's Kavanas HaAri are fantastic. But at the end of the day, the simple sense of awareness of Shema Kaleinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was here and that I could cry to him in that sense of closeness, that ultimately that poor peasant boy had that sense greater than, said the Baal Shem Tov, than I did myself. That's behind this halacha of the same Talmud Matar and its correlation to Shema Kaleinu. I think this Yisod could be further elaborated upon from the beginning of this week's parasha, probably the most poignant pasuk, I think, of tefillah that exists in Torah, is of course in Perek Hapei pasuk Chaf Aleph, and what we'll focus on the rest of tonight are just the machshava that comes out of this pasuk. Vayeta Yitzchak Lashem Lenoichach Ishto. To each part of the pasuk. Vayeta Yitzchak Lashem Lenoichach Ishto. According to the Masorah, the Besh, the Oy of Yisrael continues, and he's medayik. It says that Yitzchak davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu when his wife was an akara, l'noichach ishto, opposite his wife. Of course, Rashi describes that they were in two corners. Ki akara, because she was an akara. Listen to the Halig Gevertor of the Oy of Yisrael. Vayeta Yitzchak l'shem l'noichach ishto. Hine yadua. He says it's known. It's known, but how much of it do we really feel? That when it comes to a person, a terrible tsar, Rabbi said this is a yisod gadol in chassidus, that's about time that we internalize. And that is, that when we ourselves have a particular tsara, we should realize, Imi Anochi B'Tzarasim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in that Tzara. And there is a Tzara of the Shechina, because the lower worlds parallel the upper worlds. And our Neshama is a Chelek Elokam Imal. So the Tzar that we have, whatever Tzar we are feeling as corporeal beings, that our Neshama is feeling in this world, reflects something missing in the Kilu of the Merkava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we have our bakasha, tzarech lios ikur kavanatz ritzon mitfiloso avur sheyismal eich yisar sheyesh bach shchina meizah kaviyachol. Of course, this is the high madrigas of the Rebbes, but the Ayin Yisrael says that our mindset should be not just simply to solve the problem that we are struggling with, but rather to solve the tzar of the Shechina as well, to daven for the tzar of Shechina. He says, that's the pshat, Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem L'nochach Ishto. He says, it's Vayetar Yitzchak, Yitzchak Davin Lashem. L'nochach, on the parallel of what was going on to his wife. Not the pshat, like Rashi seems to say, opposite his wife. L'nochach Ishto. The mirror image of what was going on, the fact that Rivka was at Akara, Kaviyachal upstairs, Klal Yisrael couldn't go on. Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem. It was Anna Markova. L'moichach Yishtoi. Zoktoi of Yisrael. So Rabosai, again, these two demons are again being manifest themselves in a different way. So far we saw the idea of Shbakoleinu versus the other Bakashas. Then we saw the idea of two types of Kavana, of Reb Chaim. And then we saw the Baal Shem Tov's Hecher Kavanas against vis-a-vis the peasant. And now we see another two dimensions of Tefillah. And that is the point of transcendental awareness where one looks at the Bakashos, the articulate Bakashos, and realizes the Koleinu component, the component where we are no longer articulate. Where are we no longer articulate? Upstairs. Upstairs we communicate, not through Dibur. Upstairs we communicate through Shira. Upstairs there's a different type of expression. We express ourselves through Kol. The Kol represents the Neshama, Lashmo HaKol Shofar. The Neshama of the Shofar. So through that component, then the Tefillah is elevated, that's no longer focused on what I need or what even Klal Yisrael needs down here, but rather is about connecting, the Neshama connecting to that Shechinta B'Galusa. So again, we see this idea of Ayeta Yitzchak L'Nochach Ishto corresponding to the two different components of Tefillah. Of course, to be on a Madrega where the Tefillah is focusing entirely Shechinta B'Galusa is only the Madrega of Great Tzaddikim. But we see that we have to work on the point to the point that we don't just simply look at our tefillah as simply being bakashos, but is about creating that relationship with Kudsha Abrichu, where our neshamas started to begin to be connected to that chelak elokam imam. Of course, that avoda is very, very hard. That avoda is not easy. How do we excel at this midah of itur? Vayetar Yitzchak L'Nochach Ishto. So Be'ezer Hashem, I'd like to try to take four lessons from this, and maybe see how we could slowly, very, very, take very small steps and to begin to grow in this manner. Rashi learns, I'll start with, of course, with Rashi. What's Vayetar mean? Says Rashi, Vayetar harbe v'hiftzu b'tfila. Rashi says that Yitzchak was davening again and again and again. Rav Pinkus in the Sharim B'tfila, beautiful sefer. I have to be frank. A lot of Rav Pinkus' stuff I don't get. I haven't gotten into, but the sefer Sharim B'tfila is absolutely beautiful. Just so many of the shonos of tefillah that they all sound the same. Pegiya, itur, tzaaka. You know, unless you have someone to flesh it out, they're really... So that sefer is absolutely beautiful sefer. That was a sefer, as the modern man says, spoke to me. So in the Sha'arim B'tfila, Rav Pinkus points out that the whole concept of itur, the way Rashi learns, to be marbe umachzir b'tfila, is entirely antithetical to the way one would approach a melech basar adam and asking for something. The last thing you want to be is a nudge when you want something. When you want something from someone, you have to ask the chachma. But to be a nudge is a way to get them to run away from you. Yet itur is the exact opposite. Laharbosu lahaftzir. Why? Because of course, tefillah is not about simply asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu what we want, and it's not speaking to a basar adam, but tefillah is of course about forging that relationship with Kudsha Abrich Hu. And so therefore, the essence of itur is trying to find a way that we are interested in forging the relationship with Kudsha Abrich Hu, and thereby the bakasha is going to be fulfilled. But we're approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu not because we want to fulfill that bakasha, but we're approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu because when the relationship is closer with Him, then whatever problem exists won't exist anymore. But that means that tefillah is no longer itur, I believe, is not something that's formal. Itur represents informal tefillah. To be constantly pounding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Constantly pounding Kudsha Brichu. How cynical are we when we're sitting in the States during Yom Noraim and we see those pyramid yarmulke Jews that walk in, they take the pyramid yarmulke, they put it on for a few hours, and they leave the Beis HaKnesses after a few hours. They're actually very sincere, many of them. This is all they know. But why are we so cynical of them? Because that is such a base relationship with Kudsha Brichu. To come just the Day of Atonement and then say, I'm sorry, and then leave, that's a relationship. But on both sides, you and I are the same Jews. We check in 3 times a day. We wouldn't miss a minyan, but we check in. Kadosh Baruch Hu looks down and he says, these guys are just interested in checking in. Checking in, they pull out whatever it is that they, I'm now davening, they pull out their hats and they put them on, or whatever it might be, or they wash their hands, and that's it. All of us have a bechina of that. Itur is the ability to be able to forge that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to constantly pound our relationship with Kudsha Brichu. And that means that focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our relationship with Him outside of formal tefillah. It's not an easy thing to do. Some of you might be familiar with the legendary Rosh Yeshiva I work for, Rabbi Bina. He's unique, and he'll walk up and down the Beis Medrash, ranting and raving, and screaming, "Hey Tata, hey Tata!" That whole bechina of being able to scream out, "Oy Tata," that one feels that there's a Tata nearby, that is something we all have to work on. That's something that we all have to be able to feel. Now, of course, it's very, very hard to imbue that to modern Orthodox kids coming from the United States. You know, Yo Gato, I mean, how are you going to try to create Oy Tata? How are you going to be able to give that? But at least for us, for us as a start, is to begin to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu even outside of the formal avodas HaTefillah. And that means, yes, that when something in the house is not going so right, to be able to say a tefillah in English in a very, very simple, very, very simple form. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two from Rashi is that sometimes, aside from feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the day-to-day life, and to be able to formulate a tefillah to Him that's very, very simple, that's kolenu, is also the idea that Rabbi Pinkus develops of repeating the same tefillah over and over and over again. He points out that Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, the Ramak, is quoted by the Shalah as saying that when the person struggles with the Yetzer Hara, then he should say over and over again the pasuk Eish Tamituka Avazbeach Leisichke. That the fire that is on the Zveach should not go out. In other words, that's a way of struggle. The Eish of the Yetzer Hara versus the Eish HaKodesh. So Mesillas Yesharim points, the Sharm B'Tfila points out that there are two different things at play. One thing that's at play is saying a tefillah over and over again, and also then there's the Kos HaTorah. So those two things, when a person says something over and over and over and over again, that is mashpia on the individual. So a person should find those things in tefillah, those things in Torah, that they can say over and over again to themselves. The Brisker Rav, of course, the famous story based on Rav Chaim Volunger, was Einod Novado. But a person has to find his chelik in Torah. And the Sharm B'Tfila points out that if it's something that has a chetz of kedusha of Torah combined with saying it over and over and over and over again to oneself, that creates something inside. And that's that sense also of being marbe matzur b'tfila. I'll give you a personal example that I found for myself. Ad Yom Hazeh, I'm still very, very nervous to teach. I get very, very nervous before I say a shiur. And so only when I started teaching did I start being makid to say he rocks on before learning. But what would happen would be that I would say it once, and then I'd get nervous again, and I would say it again. And then I would say it again, and then I would say it again. Sometimes, some days, I say it 7-8 times. That tefillah over and over again, because I know the Talmidim are going to ask me, or I'm speaking with the Talmud Chacham, so I'm scared. So just those words are absolutely beautiful. Just the Hakasha, Hakash Baruch Hu, please help me. I can't do it myself. Just please help me. And then I realize something else. At the end of the tefillah, we say, Umashi shavisik farhem midani ala emet. And what the shogig that I did, there are different gersos of the tefillah. Umashi shagisi, take a look in the Gemara, there's some gersos that have Umashi shagisi kvarem idani ala emes. Those are things that I erred upon, b'shogeg, I've rectified. Since I had said the tefillah so many times, there's so many mistakes that I make with the Talmidim. Very small. But now I catch myself that whenever I make a mistake, I'm much more careful to be misaken that mistake. Because that bechinah, it just happened. It didn't happen consciously. In the subconscious, it rings in my brain, Umashi shagisi kvar enidani ala emes, that requirement that if we're going to have siyata d'shmaya, that means the mistakes that we're going to make mistakes. But those mistakes that we're going to make, that we do our best to be mitaken them. So these are so far two lessons from the Pasuk Vayetar Yitzchak. Rashi tells us that ribui of tefillah, and that ribui of tefillah is not only the tefillah in Avodas HaTefillah of the three tefillahs a day, but rather that means that constant sense of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tefillah. And number two is maybe even repeating that same tefillah, that also helps. By the way, that's the pasuk in Tehillim. Tehillim Kuvkes says, David HaMelech says, Va'ani tefillah. I am tefillah. What does it mean, I am tefillah? That means that I constantly, Rashi learns, that means I'm constantly turning to tefillah. That's the bechina of Itur. And when we read on Shabbos, Vayetar Yitzchak Hashem l'nochach ishto, the mahalach of the all of Yisrael, that there has to be that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Itur. And it's l'nochach ishto. It's that the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu then mirrors the reality of the real world. Lesson number three, Be'ezer Hashem, which is a very, very high madrega. One of the rabbeim in yeshiva said very beautifully. He said this about stories of tzaddikim, but sometimes it's also these divrei Torah of tzaddikim as well. He said stories of tzaddikim are like a compass. It's not the pshat that we're supposed to imitate those stories, but it gives us a sense of direction. Points us in a certain direction. We're never going to reach sometimes those hasagos. But at least it now puts something in perspective that we didn't have. Rabbeinu Bechai, on Vayeta Yitzchak Lashem Lenotat Ishto, Ki Akora Hi, is Medayik the following. What does it mean that Yitzchak davened because she was Akora? Usually, the Torah would say the cause before the phenomenon. That means, the Torah would say that she was Akora, and therefore Yitzchak davened. Why didn't it say that Rivka was an Akora, and therefore Yitzchak davened? Zok Rabbeinu Bechai, the reason for it is the following. Rivka was an Akara because Yitzchak needed to daven. Maybe to create Yaakov, that Yaakov should be able to stand up against Esau. Rivka was an Akara, so Yitzchak needed to daven. Now these hasagos are very, very hard for us to reach. In other words, the physical domain becomes entirely meshubad, entirely enslaved to the spiritual. And for us to look at the world that way is almost impossible. For us to look at every human phenomenon and say, oh, that happened so that we should do the following spiritual things, that's a very, very hard bechina to relate to. However, there is something that emerges that's very much shaykh to our lives. And that is, this is a cloud bubble in psychology, crisis is opportunity. Crisis is opportunity. When we are in a difficult matzah, when we have to turn to tefillah, that is a tremendous opportunity for us to find a new relationship with Kudsha Brichu. And that's what we're here in the world for. I'll give you another personal example. My oldest son, who is running around somewhere here, Baruch Hashem, was born with a terrible heart defect. He had a 10-hour heart surgery when he was 2 days old. Baruch Hashem, he's fine now. At the time, it was a very, very complicated heart surgery. The baby's heart is about the size of a walnut, and they had to change. He was born with the condition where his pulmonary and his aorta arteries were switched. A person can't live like that. His pulmonary and aorta arteries had to be switched back. The mamash took them, cut them off, and switched them. But that was the easy part. The next thing they had to do was match the coronary arteries up for the switch. In other words, they had to cut the coronary arteries, if I understand it to this day correctly, and match them up to the pulmonary aorta arteries that were switched. Now, you know, you might have heard about bypass surgery. Bypass surgery is about opening up the coronary arteries. Coronary arteries are very, very small. And that's why so many people need bypass surgery, because those are the easiest tubes in the heart to get clogged, because they are so tiny. Can you imagine how tiny they are in a baby, in a two-day-old baby? It's mind-boggling, the surgery. 20 years ago, such a child did not survive. The surgery was supposed to take 7 hours. My wife was so drugged up, because she had also had she had also undergone a cesarean section. So I said to her, it's already 7-8 hours. She was like, I don't know. I got very, very nervous. 10 hours later, they came out, and the head pediatric cardiologist, this is, I have to be makritov to this day, the surgeon's name was, he's in a Vietnamese doctor, his name is Dr. Nguyen, this is in Mount Sinai Hospital. The head of the department is an Orthodox Jew, Dr. Parnas. Anyhow, the pediatric cardiologist that came out said to me what happened was they had switched the pulmonary aorta, they had switched the coronary arteries, but they took my son off of the bypass machine and his heart rate dropped. It wasn't working. 6 hours into the surgery. And so the pediatric cardiologist said, I didn't know what to do. So the surgeon said to him, this stitch on the coronary artery, I don't like exactly how I did it. I want to go back and do it for the next 2 hours again. One stitch on a coronary artery. He went back and he did it. And then things started looking better. Dr. Nguyen came out and he spoke to us and he said, for these next 6 hours, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how the heart's going to react. 6 hours, if he survives these next 6 hours, then God willing, he'll be okay. The Kotzker Rebbe points out that there are two psukim in Devarim. It's umalta mesar las levachem, that you will do the milah of your heart, on the arla of your heart, and umal Hashem lokech las levach las levzarecha. And he says, at the end of the day, whatever you do, ultimately it's up to Kudsha Brichu. Crisis was opportunity to understand those psukim, the realization that we could do all the ishtadlus and do everything right and have all the best doctors, and yet at the end of the day the doctor could come out and say, I have absolutely no idea how this is going to go. We did our ishtadlus. Remember, he just didn't use the word ishtadlus, but that was exactly what he said. We did all our ishtadlus and the rest is biyad Hashem. That was a lesson that I will never forget. So if we are in a predicament where we need tefillah, realize that those moments will forge a relationship with Kudsha Brichu that we will never, ever lose. As long as you put the context in a proper, see it from a proper spiritual perspective. That's lesson number 3 that emerges from this pasuk as Rabbeinu B'chai. The last lesson, lesson number 4, is a lesson that's most relevant to chinuch. And of course, how could we talk about this pasuk without the famous Rashi, that as a child I did not understand one bit. The strangest Rashi in the world, I always thought. Rashi says, on the end of the pasuk, Vayei Oser Lo Yashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, him, Yaakov, the Yitzchak, v'atah Rivka Ishto. Zok the Heilige Rashi. V'ayaseh lo, lo v'lo lo. She'ein Adam, tefil tzadik ben tzadik, tefil tzadik ben rasha. Says Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Yitzchak, and not Rivka, because Yitzchak is the son of Avram. Rivka is the daughter of Rishaim. So therefore, of course, listen to Tfilas Tzadik ben Tzadik over a Tfilas Tzadik ben Rasha. As a child, I always thought that Rashi was quite unfair. Why should it be? Ain't it done with Tfilas Tzadik ben Tzadik, Tfilas Tzadik ben Rasha? Makom Shabali Tshuvim Omdim, Ain't Acherim Omdim. The Alter Mikelm is quoted by Rav Dessler in the Michlamei Eliyahu, Michelet Gimel, page 124. And he gives, I think, a half an answer. But I think the Alter Mikelm, we need to, for our purposes, it could be it was enough, what the Alter Mikelm said was enough for his days, but we need to expound on it, Beis Hashem, a little bit more to make it relevant to us. The Alter Mikelm says the following. It says, the Kuntzin Avodas Hashem is to take the atikim and make them chadash. That's what the Alter Mikelm said. To take something which was old, which was the tradition of the Mesorah, and renew it for ourselves. And he says, the madrega of taking an atik, something that was part of the Mesorah, and making it your own, is greater than making something chadash, than making something new. That's what the Alter Mikelm, Rav Dessler said in reference to this Rashi. What does that mean? Yitzchak had a Mesorah of davening from Avram Avinu. That's Atika. That was something that Avram Avinu had achieved in tremendous godliness. And he took it and he made it his own. When you take something that's part of the Mesorah and you make it your own, so then in such a case, says the Alter Mikelm, it's a different Madrega than someone who didn't take an Atik, but rather started out as a Davar Chadash. And as high as Rivka was, since it wasn't coming from a Davar Atiki, it wasn't something that she had experienced in the Mesorah, then in such a case, it doesn't have the same Madrega. Why not? What's the Alter Mikelm saying? Why is it that just because Rivka didn't have the atiki, but at the end of the day, isn't tefillah the expression of relationship between a person and kudsha b'richu? Can't the Baal Tshuva reach that madrega? And I think what the Alter Mikelm is saying is the following. What the Alter Mikelm is saying is no. Tefillah is not just about a spiritual, emotional experience. Tefillah is not simply the expression of a person's feelings, even spiritual feelings, vis-a-vis kudsha b'richu. Tefillah is called avoda shebelev. It's an avoda. And it's avoda that needs to be learned. It needs a mesorah. It is not just simply an expression of the present, but it's an expression of the mesorah's relationship with kudsha b'richu. And so therefore, as sincere as Rivka Imenu was, there was no way that she was going to be able to maintain that madrega that someone who would experience an atiki, someone who had a mesorah of tefillah. And that's because tefillah is not something that's easy, it's a behavior, it's a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that needs to be learned. How is this relevant to us? Well, Itur takes place first at home. A child learns tefillah, learns the concept of Itur at home. It's also very interesting that Yitzchak and Rivka seem to be very, very much at home, according to Chazal. One's in one corner of the house and the other's in the other corner of the house. And those earliest experiences of a child of tefillah are things that forge them forever. And Rivka Imenu that didn't have that, there's going to be something that's lacking in her tefillah. So first of all, for ourselves, those of us who are parents, those of us who Be'ezras Hashem will be parents. Brachos and Birchas Hamazon, the way a child sees us bench, the way a child sees our brachos, now, at the earliest of ages, is going to affect their perception of what tefillah is. I remember one of the most powerful advertisements that I ever saw on the train was an advertisement about abuse. And in it had a beautiful picture of a black child with his eyes wide open, staring towards the camera. And it said, on it said, there is a sensitive recording device here. That little child is recording every single thing that goes on in the house. And it's being buried deep into the recesses of the psyche, and sometimes not so deep. It's right in the front. And how we bench, and the brachos that we make, and how we make those brachos, are going to have an impact. And even more than that, and this is a hard one, you know, the times that we're sick and we're not able to go to shul, or the times that we're even, if I may say so, a little bit of a yirida, and we're davening at home, those are the times that your children aren't going to see you davening. It's not the highs when on Yom Kippur they're already long gone. It's after those moments when are the most casual, when no one else is watching, that sensitive recording device is operating at its peak. So therefore, even shelo lishma, to realize that our bechina of avoda, if we're going to be able to give over tefillah sadik ben sadik, that's going to be extremely, extremely important in passing over to our children. Of course, the truth is, much of this starts with the mother, not with the father. My wife told me, and this is something that you might want to share with your wives, my wife claims that she had no idea what tefillah was for the first 30 years of her life. She says she davened, but she had absolutely no idea what tefillah was. And she said to me that only when she met Benos Eretz Yisrael, and she saw Benos Eretz Yisrael daven, and my imams Baruch Hashem are fine, upstanding Orthodox Jews, and she went she davened a nice shtibuch, but she said she had no idea what tefillah was. But she said when she saw Benos Eretz Yisrael daven, when she became friends with them, that's when she began to see what tefillah is. And she says it was a transformative experience for her. So, for Kosomar LeBeis Yaakov, should know that tefillah itself is something that the child is going to see even more from the mother than the father. In other words, is the mother able to put everything aside while she's juggling breakfast and everything, and she's getting Shlomo out, and she's getting this one out, and she's doing this, and then she sets aside and says 3 minutes of Moda'ani and Brachos? That 2-year-old, that 3-year-old, that 5-year-old is not going to forget that. And the father could be sitting and learning in Kol all day. The father could be having 25-minute Shmona Esrei, which is all beautiful. We definitely have to daven for our children as well. But at the end of the day, if it's not going to be, tefillah is not going to be part of the home, then ultimately the child will grow up in a vacuum vis-a-vis tefillah. And it's never too late. Why am I emphasizing this? Because as Revoldi points out in his classic book on Zriya Ubinyan, for children, he points out that many, many parents begin to take their children to shul when they're way too young. And if a child comes to shul when he's too young, then the child, he or she, begins to view shul as gan. And that's very, very, that's also a terrible form of chinuch. So the tefillah has to start at home. Not to expect, like unfortunately the American mindset often is, to look at shul as being the source of religiosity. One of the beautiful things of Eretz Yisrael is we realize that's the home and the street that's really going to be either effectively or chassidically, ineffectively, an expression of Avodas Hashem. It's not only the shul, it's not only the Jewish center. It happens at home or on the street. So therefore, if a child is brought to shul when they're too young, then they don't perceive what a Beis HaKnesses is. And Revolbi even goes so far as to suggest
that a child should be rewarded when he or she has behaved well that day. Oh, now you have the opportunity to go to shul. When they behaved well, because that's appropriate for shul. It's an interesting take. The shul becomes a reward because now you're beginning to comprehend what it is Mora Migdash. So now you're ready to have a sense. The other point that I make, and I've made it before, I think, and needs emphasis again, because every time I see in shul, my kishkas turn upside down, and that is that a father could only teach a child proper tefillah if it's positive and not negative. The moment that the child begins to feel that tefillah is a burden, then it's the antithesis of what ether is all about. It's about forging the relationship of good shabbat. So only if we're going to use positive or negative reinforcement in tefillah, it could only be positive reinforcement and never negative reinforcement. And finally, ein adoma tefillah tzadik ben tzadik. But at the end of the day, Rabbi said, we all know ourselves that we're not tzadikim. And there are times that the sensitive recording device is going to see the parent not performing properly. So what's the etzah? I think the etzah is to take our children to watch gedolei tefillah. And I think it's more important for children to be exposed to gedolei tefillah than it is for them to be exposed to gedolei talmidei chacham. And the reason for that is the following. There's no question that if the father emphasizes this is a tremendous talmid chacham and they see the talmid chacham pouring over the gemara, that picture will stay with them forever. I remember as a child the pictures of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, as a child seeing Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky just in a sukkah for 30 seconds made an indelible impression on me. But the greatest thing that we can give the children is for them to see tefillah. Why? Because the Talmud Chacham is the expression of the intellect. A child can't comprehend the intellect of the Talmud Chacham pouring over a Gemara. You can. You could see the intensity of real Talmud Chacham pouring over the Gemara. You could see that there's something at play. For a child, it's a lot harder. But for a child to see someone who really, really davens, that's something that's going to stick with them forever. I've mentioned in the past that my experience, this is a different type of avodah, but this is also an expression of avodah as well. As a child, watching the amshin of a Rebbe Zafon of Levracha wash his hands, and the avodah, so probably in the Litvish world, what is washing hands? It's a makir to be able to eat bread. But it's not. It's so much more. When I was a child, I realized that washing one's hands is Mamish Avoda. And the Rebbe had kavanos and so on. And as a child, I also remember they used a tremendous amount of water. To me, it seemed like the whole shtibel was like a wash of water. Gallons and gallons and gallons. A Gansa Avoda. But what it imparted to me was that there's something here that's transcendental that's going on. And Kal V'Chomer, when it comes to seeing as a child, I remember a Hasidic Yid who wasn't well known at all. He had a little shtiebel, 15 people davening him. Rabbi Adler, my father used to take me, I used to remember him crying during davening. Those impressions of watching someone being oved b'tfila is something that stays with a child forever. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya, that we should be able to be mekayim this pasuk Vayeta Yitzchak Lashem L'noifach Ishtoi with all of its lessons. That number one, we should begin to be marbev maktsiv b'tefila, that tefila should be part of our daily lives. That we should be mechazek ourselves through the repetition of tefila, not only in the daily, that the daily routine includes tefila, but begin to be marbev, that there should be some tefilas that become part of us, that become part of our identity. Lesson number three is to realize that when there is a tzara, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to create that relationship with Him, that crisis is opportunity. And then when crisis calls for tefillah, that's an opportunity for us to solidify the relationship with Him. And lesson number four, to internalize the idea in chinuch of ein adoma tefillah tzadik ben tzadik. And once we begin this process of avodah, number one, begin to be magdish, our 5 minutes a day of Torah, for the Mayim of Torah,
and that we begin to internalize what the lessons of the same Talmud of Racha are, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mevarech Eretz Yisrael with the rain that it really needs.